Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. I'd like to call the variance appeal hearing respecting property identified as PID number 70275094, located at rear of 87 Bristol Avenue in Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, to order. It's Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. The purpose of this variance appeal hearing is to provide the appellants Linda K. Lane, Yvette Cherry, Mitchell J. Harlow, and Natasha M. Harlow with an opportunity to present oral and or written arguments to Council of Region of Queens Municipality respecting the decision of its development officer to issue a variance to the owner of property identified as PID number 70275094 and located to the rear of 87 Bristol Avenue in Liverpool, which would allow a reduction in lot area to facilitate 8 additional dwelling units as set out in section 5.5 of the municipality's land use bylaw. The procedure for this variance appeal hearing is as follows. Opening remarks. Development officer will review the variance application. The appellant is eligible to speak, but first must be recognized by the chair and must give his name and address before commencing. The applicant is then eligible to speak to their application, but first must be recognized by the chair and must give his or her name and address before commencing. The appellant is eligible to provide a summary argument concerning their appeal. This meeting will be conducted following parliamentary procedure. This council uses its own rules of order as well as Borno's rules of order. The appellant now has the floor to present their appeal. So would an appellant wish to speak?
Good morning, councilors, mayor. Myself and my wife, Linda Lane, are here to appeal what we're talking about here. So I'd like to, first of all, say I've only just come across this. I've had some other things this week that I've been dealing with, so I'm woefully unprepared. However, I do have some things written down here that I think are relevant to the conversation and should be taken into consideration. I'd like to also say that I'm appearing here as a citizen and not as a business owner. I understand that development is essential to our area, and any builds would be a positive thing and have a positive economic impact, and that point is not lost on me. But I'm speaking here today as a citizen, a property owner, in Liverpool. So I have a bunch of points here. I'll just go through it, and Linda, if you want to help me out as I go. as stated in the first letter sent in March of 2021, the Region of Queens Municipality Land Use Bylaw allowed for a 30-unit apartment building and was allowing 6 additional units. We were given an opportunity to appeal, and Linda called the development officer and was informed that an appeal had to be done in person at a council meeting. She decided against appealing at that time because of that. And then in March, so we're at, it was approved for 36. Then in March 2023, we received another letter saying the Region of Queens is currently permits 37, not 36, but the paper says 37, we have it here. 37 unit apartment building, and the new application would allow for 8 additional units, bringing it up to 45. I'd like to point out that it was 36 in 2021 and jumped to 37 in 2023. I'm just wondering if that's a mistake, or was it an extra unit snuck in hoping no one would notice? So that's a question. So I'm hoping to have answers to questions. There's going to be a few here. This is the third council meeting making changes to a residential property and zoning limits. So here's some questions and concerns. Will there be a retaining wall? If so, how will this not affect the water levels in the surrounding properties? This speaks to a bigger issue of an environmental impact study. I'm not sure if those have been done, probably. But the point is that the citizens haven't been necessarily advised of these things. From our standpoint, letters could have gone out, but we didn't receive any. So yes, the retaining wall. Will wetlands and habitats be backfilled and destroyed to build this building? How will they be using fill to expand? Will they be using fill to expand their land? We have a history here in Liverpool of filling in rivers and expanding land, and I think we're seeing impacts of that. It's been largely noted in national media. Using fill, has an environmental impact study been carried out to assess the potential damage to the tidal estuary where we live? Height restrictions, what are the height restrictions of a building in a residential area? I'm sure this is information is out there, but I don't have it, and it would be nice to know. facts and concerns that we have. So the Government of Canada recently projected that the sea level rise would exceed a meter by the end of the century along areas of Nova Scotia's coast. On top of that, we need to consider the possibility of storm surges that can temporarily increase water levels even more. Much of our coastline is already at increased risk from coastal erosion. We are already experiencing the effects of climate change. Has the Coastal Protection Act, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Coastal Protection Act, has that been taken into consideration? That came into law in
2019.
So if that the Coastal Protection Law hasn't been taken into consideration, is that because it seems like a relevant law to consider when making these decisions? It's almost seems like the developer is pushing his project agenda through to avoid these laws that are coming in. Is the developer here today? Is that him there?
Okay.
Hello, sir. In the article written by the CBC titled Municipality Rejects Recommendations in Liverpool Flooding Report, citing costs, Mayor Norman stated that doing any of these recommendations was far above the financial capacity of the region of Queens. Fair enough. I don't see what they're being asked to do here financially. I think what we're asking is that these things be taken into consideration. So isn't this waterfront development the exact opposite of what's being recommended in the Coastal Protection Act? As local business owners, born and raised in Liverpool, we're all for growth and an expansion of our community and economy, but we ask you to reconsider the location and size of this building. Not to mention the personal impacts it has on our own personal life in our own backyard, and what that's going to cause for us, and the loss of privacy, the increase in traffic. This information, this is my last little bit here. The information that I'm about to read you comes directly from the Region of Queens website. And it states, in accordance with the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, bylaws require a first and second reading at least 10 days apart and must be advertised in local media. This is still on the website, the Queens website. The Region of Queens uses the Queens County Advance. So we all know that the Advance hasn't been in operation for several years now. So this is what's on the website currently. If you look it up right now, it says that the Region of Queens uses the Queens County Advance for advertising purposes and approving bylaws, additions, changes, or deletions. So were the media and residents of the municipality informed of this land use bylaw? That's the question. Were we informed of these changes through the media? And if we're not using the Queens County Advance anymore, what is being used to inform your citizens? Anything else, Linda?
think that's it.
Thank you for your time.
Andrew, your civic, you and Linda's civic address, please. Thank you. I think we'll listen to all the appellants first and then have the right for the applicant to reply. I would like to make one note, though, and that being that the Coastal Protection Act, which we've all been waiting for, has not yet been passed. It's an unpassed piece of legislation. I noticed other appellants here who would like to speak next.
I'm Yvette Cherry. I live at 11 Mercy Avenue. A lot of what my appeal is based on has been discussed, but one of my main concerns had been the traffic impact, and I did receive a copy of the traffic impact study and had a look at it. My concern really is that the impact of this traffic, or the study that was done, was based on previous studies of similar locations. However, I'm not sure the context is quite the same. We currently have one street in and out. Most of us have no idea specifically how the traffic is going to be arranged. In terms of access, is our street going to be used as two-way or one-way? Is there going to be another street put in? If so, again, how is that street going to impact the waterway? Because we've already had flooding on our street during several storms that would come up beyond where that easement is. Between two houses at the end of our street. So how are they dealing with that threat of flooding in that particular area of the street, if that's going to be used as an access point? Also, the concern around parking on our street when this development occurs, because right now, there's no restrictions on parking on the sides of our street. We have a boat launch at the end of our street, so oftentimes during the summer whenever the weather is good, we have people bringing large boats with trailers down our street to go into the river. So these are all questions that I have around parking, around access, around the flooding issue of the access lane, whatever is going to be put in there, and how the town intends to deal with these problems. I'm going to say when they occur, because I feel that they will be problems that will occur, not to mention the impact of our street getting out onto Bristol Avenue. And so this is going to be an increasing issue too, because many of us are working in the morning and need to get out of our street to work. This is already a challenge to get out of Mersey onto Bristol. Bristol is a very busy street at certain times of day. And so actually it's a pretty busy street all day, but at particular times. And so what are the remedies when this impact occurs, when we have increased traffic? Are there intentions to put in a three-way stop or lights? Have these things been thought through? Because I really feel that, in my opinion, this will be an issue that will need to be addressed at that time. I'm really glad developers are choosing Liverpool to develop in. I think it's a great town, and I think we need more places for people to live. I think the location choice in this situation is extremely unusual and strange, and it's a very kind of, it's just in light of the environment and the access to this land, I really think it's not a great choice, but anyways, it appears it's going ahead, but these are my concerns. My family's lived in the town of Liverpool for almost 70 years, and so we really, you know, I really do care about Liverpool. I care about the impact of these developments, and as happy as I am for them, I just hope that the town is anticipating the potential difficulties that we can encounter with this particular development. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cherry. Would our other appellant wish to speak? Just remember to provide your name and civic address. Thank you.
I'm a little short. good morning. We're at Natasha. I'm Natasha. This is my husband, Mitchell Harlow. Mitchell's from Mill Village. I'm actually from the Eastern Shore. And we chose to purchase 35 Mersey Avenue last year so that we could relocate to Liverpool. The biggest reasons that we chose to move to Liverpool is, you know, similar to what everyone has said, that we really enjoy the quietness of the town. We fully support development as well in places to live in the town, and we think growth is very important. We're just a little bit concerned that a five-story building will kind of tower over everything that is, you know, what is Liverpool now. When you look out over the Mersey, you see church steeples, you see small businesses. It's very picturesque and beautiful, and I feel like a five-story building just doesn't really fit with the fabric of the town. We're relocating from living in downtown Halifax, surrounded by large buildings like that and surrounded by traffic like that. And part of our reason for moving and, you know, bringing our professional skills and our family to Liverpool was the quaintness of the town. Specifically, you know, issues that we had were also around the traffic study. So I'm a physician and a researcher by training, and Mitchell's also a professional engineer. So we've had a pretty good look at the study. I don't think it was a very well done study. I don't think enough information is provided in the study. Specifically, the data is outdated. Unfortunately, I appreciate that may be the only data that's available, but the data is already 2 years old. So it doesn't really reflect the current population and the current situation. There's no current level, or sorry, no current information on the current level of traffic on Mersey. Extrapolating using the ratios that they provided, right now it looks like the cars are about, you know, 2 per hour on Mersey Avenue. Based on the information they've provided, again, not clearly specifying whether it'll be an entrance, an exit, or both, we're looking at like 12 to 14 cars per hour based on that ratio, which is a significant difference for a small street of that nature. And that's not really accounted for. The other thing in the type of work that I do is, we say in a study there may be a significant difference or not a significant difference statistically, but we also account for the clinical impact on people that isn't represented in numbers. So in this situation, they're saying we don't expect there to be traffic issues, we don't expect there to be safety issues. However, the members of Mersey Avenue probably will be impacted, and they do say that, and they don't account for the weight of how much that will impact the safety and the traffic on the street for the people who already live on that street. You know, a few other things. It doesn't actually meet when you turn left. There's specific requirements for how far you need to see. I appreciate the street doesn't go far enough, but it doesn't actually meet what the criteria currently are. What else did we have to say? I'm just looking at our notes here, and I apologize, we were a few minutes late. We had to drop our son at daycare, and we couldn't get him there any earlier. I guess the other main issue that we had is, as far as we know, only the people who had adjacent parcels to this building were actually invited. So as far as we know, the people on the other side of the street weren't even openly invited to this meeting. So I appreciate their parcels may not necessarily be adjacent to the development, but they still live on that street, and it's still a part of their community. So we don't really feel like everyone had an opportunity to express how they feel about this.
No, that's it. The traffic study, really, the fact that only adjacent parcels were invited or saw the variance is now I feel like we have a responsibility for the community members of Liverpool to voice our opinion. A five-story building, I don't think we all fully understand the magnitude of this building. It actually boggles my mind, the fact that it could possibly fit in that space. I know, I see the footprint. It's going to go vertical, be 50-plus feet. But, I mean, we do buildings in Halifax, in the new developments. I've seen it. We work with these contractors. And the magnitude of that will be, it will just completely change, like we said, the fabric of this town. And I don't think we appreciate what this could look like. You will see this building from every walkway in Liverpool on the waterfront. It is significant. I think it really needs to be addressed. Like, we're new to this, so we missed the variance that would have came when they wanted to go from 30 to 37. I think that is where we failed the community to start with. Now we're involved. We have the variance. We need to set a precedent, so we need to put our foot, like, draw the line in the sand, because we can't let the – I support developing. I want housing. I think there's an opportunity to do that. I think the boundaries being pushed. I think Liverpool and the members and the council are being pushed, and it's time for us to push back. And there's a lot of reasons which – everyone here is going to advocate for the same ones. It will change the fabric. It's the size doesn't meet the variance requirement. There's a huge safety concern, whether the traffic study, which was very poorly articulated. There's holes all through the study, which is one thing, but there's also the safety concern. If you increase traffic from 2 cars an hour to 12 cars an hour on a small street, there will be a safety concern. You can't deny that. So I just think we are advocating not for just us where we live on Mersey Ave, but for the community as well. So please take our words as we're trying to be a good representation. I know that's what council will do. We appreciate the support. We know you know this community better than anyone. We need to also think of what's best for the community members who are not invited. So we're trying to advocate for everyone.
Thank you for your time.
Before the applicant has a chance to speak, it's not a matter of invitational to speak. According to our land use planning documents, 30 meters
yep.
is the distance given for a variance.
Oh, I understand.
So we work within the rules that have been adopted
yep.
within our rules. So it's not a matter of invitation. It's a matter of what the procedure is.
It should be changed. Darlene,
no, I can't. I have to keep within the rules of the
yeah.
order. The applicant now has time to respond to the questions. So if the applicant would identify themselves, please.
Sure, hi. Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Hi, my name is Greg Zwicker. I'm a planner.
Just a moment, Greg.
You're okay?
Your volume's
right.
low.
Sure.
I think that's better now.
Okay, is that better there? I can speak up a little bit.
Yes, it's fine.
Yes, my name is Greg Zwicker. I'm a planner with a company in Halifax called Zap Consulting. We are an architecture and planning firm that pretty well just does residential design, residential development across Atlantic Canada. The appeal today is for a variation to the minimum lot size. So as a planner, I have to listen, understand the concerns of the community. I understand traffic, I understand coastal protection, sea level rise, height. And I'm sympathetic to all of these issues. What I'm here today to talk about is that property is zoned for this use, that maximum height, 15.2 meters. A lot of the items that we're talking about are permitted in the zone. So we're not asking to vary any of the height, parking, yards, setbacks, coastal protection. We're setting the building up at 6 meters. We're not infringing on the water course buffer. We're respecting the buffer from the water. The only piece we're here today to talk about from our application is the minimum lot area. So that building, as you've seen, as drawn, is permitted in the zone under your land use bylaw and your municipal plan. what we're asking is to put 8 more units in that building. So the minimum lot requirement of 125 square meters, we're asking for a 25% reduction, which means the minimum lot area of 93.75 meters. Everything else complies with the bylaw. Everything else complies with the zone. So I do have a little show. I'm not sure I really need to give it or not, but the test today is whether or not this appeal for this variance complies with the Municipal Government Act. I'm just going to share a slide with you. Might as well, since I'm looking at it myself. So we all know where the property is. This is your current RM zone. Requirements are, you know, lot area, setback, height, and parking. These are the drawings that have been submitted and the two access points off of Bristol and Mersey. The lot area is 4,629 square meters. The maximum number of units without the variance is 37. If you do the math on the 125 per unit, what we're asking for is to put 45 in the same building. So smaller, sort of more affordable units rather than going with a larger. So this test, the variance is tested on three things. Variance should not be granted if the variance violates the intent of the land use bylaw, the difficulty experienced is general to the properties in the area, or the property results, the difficulty results from an intentional disregard of the requirements of land use bylaws. So that's what your development officer has to review the test against. We believe the answer is no on all three of those tests. Does not violate the intent of the bylaw. Intention of the zone is to address demand for and issues surrounding the development of higher density residential options. Large lot is an ideal location for addressing demand for higher infill housing while meeting all of the other bylaw requirements. And the issue is not general to the area because this is a different zone and different lot requirements than the surrounding community, which I agree does cause some of the conflicts that the neighbors are talking about. But this isn't something you're going to see on property by property by property. It's fairly site specific to this one project. And it's not resulting from any intentional disregard. We didn't go, or the builder did not go and get offside or break the rules or construct something on the property, then come back and ask for forgiveness after. That's what this third part of the test is about. So the request is for a variance of minimum lot area. The development application meets all other requirements of the land use bylaw. Denying the appeal allows for 45 rather than the 36 units in the same building. Our request is that council deny the appeal on the grounds that the development officer did not err in the application of the Municipal Government Act. So for the topic at hand, that's where we sort of land on this. I can talk about all the other issues and certainly follow up with any residents that have concerns about retaining walls or parking or traffic or any of those other pieces. I think today at the appeal hearing, you're trying to stick to the test of whether or not the variance follows that three-part test. So probably best for me just to leave it there. And I'm here if there's any questions or anything else that you would like me to respond to.
Thank you, Mr. Swicker. So we're at a point where the appellant is now eligible to provide a summary argument concerning their appeal, if they so wish. So I guess closing remarks would be to counsel. A few things I'd like to state. The rules that have been set for land use zoning and planning and through the Municipal Government Act are ones that we must follow as a council. There will often be things that come before us that we know neighbors may not like, that may hold the question of what ifs. But I believe Mr. Swicker was correct in his statements that had they not been requesting 45 units, within the same building size. If we deny this, the same building size of the same height and the same land coverage is legitimate. So the question simply is, have all the requirements been met from the applicant? The height is legal. The footprint is legal. The buffers are legal. The applicant simply wishes to place more smaller units in the size of a building that is legal. And that is what council has to consider. There were questions raised about what if traffic becomes an issue. There are solutions that council have through our engineering department that could and would consider and solve those questions. Traffic can always be dealt with, be it a three-way or a set of lights. If the additional traffic, and I assume it would be in several years' time, is noted. So yes, council would have a way to deal with if there becomes or when there becomes a traffic problem. I recognize that this will change the fabric of the neighborhood. However, as we move forward and we realize the province wishes to double the population in Nova Scotia, many communities in Nova Scotia are going to see a change in the fabric. So upon that note, I am going to adjourn this variance meeting.